Welcome to the Internet Report, where we cover what's breaking and what's working on the Internet. This week, we are going to talk about the Google outage that happened yesterday, December 14th. And after that, we have an interesting session with David Belson from Fastly. And you've probably seen David before on our show. But David's a senior director of data insights at Fastly, and he put together some really interesting insights on Black Friday traffic. So we have him later on the show. So first off, let's look at the Google outage that happened yesterday. So for those of you who were awake and on the East Coast, this happened really early, around 6:45.
It did.
Right?
Yeah.
6:45, lasted for about 40 minutes.
40 minutes, yeah.
Right. And some of the early manifestations of this outage of sorts was, you know, people couldn't listen to, or see YouTube, or they were unable to access mail or calendar. But an interesting observation that was made was if you were in incognito mode on your web browser, you could, you know, totally access YouTube, for instance. That was just a manifestation of how this outage happened and what a few of us saw. And it looks like Google came out with their RCA on what happened as well, which we'll get into that a little bit. But before we get there, we wanted to see how we kind of experienced the outage from, you know, a Thousand Eyes perspective, what we saw. So bear with me as I share my screen.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but some of the symptoms of this, and this was confirmed with their article that they put out about the root cause of this, is it had a lot of the same manifestations as the authentication issue that caused the big outage at Microsoft, some Microsoft services, in terms of kind of like, you know, the steps that need to happen in order to kind of identify the inbound user and go through the process of seeing if they're authenticated and all of that. Like there were some things that were broken in that process in the case of the Microsoft outage. And some of what we saw also kind of looks similar to that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So what you're seeing here is, you know, us Thousand Eyes agents monitoring Google Calendar very specifically. And at the time of the outage, which was started around 11:50 UTC, so translating to about 6:50 Eastern, lasting for just 40 minutes.
I would just point out that was 3:50 Pacific time. Right. Because I woke up to messages from a bunch of folks on this. And so
I woke up to messages too.
luckily, yes. I missed this one. So 40 minutes. But I mean, this really took place just as the school day was getting started on the East Coast. So that, you know, certainly would have had an impact. A lot of people, a lot of both businesses and schools and other
It actually did. Heard that one of our colleagues, the school called her to let her kids know that they are unable to get on their classes because Google was down. So definitely did create some kind of, disruption. Also to remember that this was midday in Europe.
Yeah.
And as you can see, the outage was pretty global in its impact. It wasn't really concentrated to the States. So we're looking at, the impact of the outage, like a blast radius. So this is definitely global in scale, looking at, HTTP availability. But what was interesting is if we got into the weeds of the page load components itself, we noticed that we are starting to see an issue here with respect to, unable to get any access to the application itself. So it's kind of your page is not even loading.
And it's interesting because the initial, like the server itself, like, you know, the initial edge server, right, where you're making your request, that was working, right? So you were getting a redirect.
Exactly.
And on the redirect, that's where in trying to connect to that redirected URL, like that's where there was an issue. And if you look at kind of like the component itself, so yeah, like all clear, network looks really clean, lots of green, And so all good there. Nothing right. In terms of what was happening from the front end.
From a front end perspective, that's a good point. Like, yeah. Because a lot of times this question of can I even reach the, you know, edge servers. And as you can see here, there's no real network related issue. Actually, even in the paths within Google, the green nodes represent where
Google's network. Yeah,
yeah, Google's network.
And what's interesting too, if you go back to page load, is you know you see here kind of like this redirect, and that's actually normal. Like if you go back in the timeline in which everything was working, you'll kind of see like a little bit of this kind of process that happens where somebody who's not logged in, right? In this case, like we're doing kind of a fresh test, there's no caching. You get, just going to calendar.google.com, you're getting kind of like a redirect to like another URL. And then you kind of, and this all happens like without anything even loading on a page, right? Like this kind of sequence.
That's kind of like the redirect. Prerequisite.
Yeah, like, are you, you know, like there's some mechanism whereby it's like, are you authenticated? If you were authenticated, then you would get, you know, a page that's like enables you to have access to your calendar or your email. But if you're not, then you're going to be handed a login page. And so that sequence, yeah.
And that's clearly seen here as to you are sent to something called a service login page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's kind of related also to kind of the RCA that they came out with, right?
Yes.
Google, which was their...
Yeah, they did identify an authentication issue caused by, I think this was like, there was a queue threshold that was reached and, you know, that then caused like issues with authentication or authentication service, which is obviously really critical because it's kind of the first step to getting into an application. And it's interesting, you know, to see if there's any differences, reported differences based on whether or not users were logged in already when the incident went down versus not. Especially given that this was happening really early in the day for the East Coast, I would expect that a lot of folks were like making fresh logins. And so, you know, I think it would be interesting. You know, haven't had a lot of time to kind of dig into some of the user social on media on this, but it'd be interesting to see if there's differences in Europe versus East Coast, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Because there may have been folks already signed in, right?
I remember that even though I was actually signed in,
Still having issues.
I was having issues playing YouTube. And I was unable to send email to. I just did a quick test email as soon as I woke up, and that was happening. But I was already signed in.
Yeah.
But very clearly, if you were signed in, and you know, you had maybe there was some kind of, you know, backend authentication, like validation, the check that was happening, but irrespective.
Exactly. So even the validation method, just kind of checking, are you authenticated or not?
It
sounds
not.
Like it wasn't also functioning. So.
So the other interesting thing that we saw, apart from like, you know, just not being able to purely not able to access the service, which is what we saw from, you know, accessing Google Calendar, we noticed that, you know, we track some response times and wait times in terms of seeing, okay, where exactly is this delay happening for, you know, say Gmail for in this particular instance. And very clearly here, we noticed that at the time of the outage, we started seeing spikes in wait times all across, like globally, right?
Yeah.
The magnitude of that difference varies depending on where you're connecting from, but irrespective, there's definitely indication that there was something slowing down the servers in the backend.
It's interesting. What I like about this, these two charts is like on the top, you have response time, right? Mm-hmm. But I also like the fact that like, you know, we can chart specifically around like which aspects of the response time are contributing to this higher delay, right? So it's not DNS, it's not like connect, that's all fine and normal within normal parameters, but it's really the wait time, which means a lot of that is an indication that the server is just taking longer, maybe trying to make requests to a backend system or service.
The authentication, and that's just the service itself.
Exactly. So so that's really, you know, these are all kind of aligning to what's been reported by Google, you know, so really interesting that you can make a lot of even just a deep kind of backend system services, you can make a lot of inference just based on some data from the outside, right? I think even when we were talking about this yesterday, authentication came up pretty early in the conversation when
it
we were
did.
Like thinking about what the root cause could be. So, so it was nice to kind of get that confirmation.
Yes,
today.
Yes, definitely. Yep. Yeah, with that, that kind of takes us on our, outage deep dive. And with that, we'll be moving over to the expert opinion section.
So next up on our expert spotlight, we have David Belson, who is Senior Director of Data Insights at Fastly, where he's responsible for telling data-driven stories and working across the organization to activate data insights for customers and the open source community. He's been in the tech industry for over 25 years. He's had similar roles at the Internet Society, at Oracle's Internet Intelligence team, and at Akamai. So we're really excited to have him on. He's been on the show before, so we're excited to have him back. And we're going to talk about some of the research that he's put out recently on the differences between performance during Black Friday last year, as well as this year, and also Giving Tuesday. So we'll talk a little bit about what his findings were. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
So what was some of the interesting things that kind of just jumped out at you when you started looking at this data in preparation for kind of the publishing?
So I think one of the things we noticed was that people seem to take a break from shopping on Thanksgiving this year. In the past, we've seen, I think, both in real life and online, that there've been a lot of, doorbuster, sitebuster sales on Thanksgiving, where drives traffic. This year, we saw e-commerce traffic among our customers kind of dip heading into Thanksgiving and then pick up on Black Friday and into the weekend.
And you also saw a similar trend for traffic around the Giving Tuesday date, because sometimes there's an uptick in kind of traffic to nonprofits during that period. Again, it seemed like on Thanksgiving Day, it was almost as if compared to last year, there was actually less traffic to a lot of these sites.
Yeah. So both on e-commerce and traffic to some of our nonprofit charity and charity customers, the peak traffic levels were certainly lower on Thanksgiving Day, but then accelerated. So for the nonprofits, it was very clearly accelerated on Giving Tuesday from a day-to-day and week-to-week perspective. And then for the e-commerce customers, again, the peaks were lower on Thanksgiving, but then significantly higher on Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yeah. And what do you think? I mean, I guess there's been some other kind of articles that have been written about this as well, in terms of like why that might be. Is it just like digital fatigue, people taking some downtime on Thanksgiving perhaps? Or there was also a lot of just kind of deals that were offered a lot earlier than they were last year, right?
Right. Yeah, that was definitely, I definitely saw a number of those articles talking about how some of the major retailers started offering deals earlier. And we looked at traffic over the course of October, November as well. And I think we definitely started to see a gradual increase that happened, I think, in the first half of October, kind of dipped a bit, and then accelerated again once, November started. Maybe that was everybody stocking up for Halloween in the first half of October, and then started to do their Christmas shopping in early November. I don't know, but we definitely saw a gradual increase in traffic through the months heading into the shopping weekend.
Well, it's also very easy with everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of folks at home to just kind of sprinkle in your shopping throughout your week and throughout your...
We've been online shopping for 9 months now, so...
Exactly.
You're ahead of the game then.
What more do you want to buy? David, was there any difference you saw from a Cyber Monday to, Black Friday perspective, and in comparison to last year?
Mm-hmm. So last year we saw, Black Friday obviously was higher than earlier in the week and earlier in the month. But then Cyber Monday was when the commerce traffic hit a peak. This year, we saw the peak on Black Friday. And then on Cyber Monday, we saw our higher traffic, but it wasn't, the peak levels weren't quite as high as they were on Black Friday.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, maybe everybody did, maybe everybody found what they needed Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then, you know, Monday, they were just picking up other deals, but not quite as many. Or
also, traditionally, Black Friday has been about going into the store and, you know, buying stuff like there. It's not been right. An online activity. And Cyber Monday was that one event where you one day when you would go online to buy stuff.
That's very true. Yeah. So I think maybe that has now, because of the current situation, a lot of that in-store activity shifted online, obviously, which may be what drove Black Friday to be a higher traffic day.
Yeah. I mean, even the notion of a Cyber Monday.
A Cyber Monday.
Seems a little bit like antiquated at this point.
This point, we just call that Monday.
Exactly. So lots of good data that you have in there. And so, I mean, there's a lot of data that you unpack in that blog. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And also just, you know, there's some other research that has been put out by Fastly this year that's really interesting. We don't necessarily have a lot of time to unpack it, and hopefully you'll come back on a future episode and we can talk about this more. But there's a lot of data that Fastly put out about kind of the digital divide, right? And about how, you know, certain communities based on, they've done some research around based on income levels and download speeds, I think it was. They kind of charted that out earlier this year.
Yeah, that came out in the end of April. And we leveraged data from the Fastly platform to look at connection speeds and then did some correlation with zip code and income to try to understand, you know, is there a correlation between connection speeds and income levels? And then also looking at things like, you know, where do users or consumers fail to have broadband speeds that are, you know, acceptable or necessary to do what we need to do online, to do video conferencing, to do, you know, basic online education, things like that. You know, but we also, you know, on the upside, one of the things we found is that a number of providers had adjusted some of their offering tiers to increase the speeds that were available, and especially in the programs for you know, lower income customers. And we did see we definitely see an impact and a benefit there when they took those steps.
Yeah. So
remember, was that, you know, a concession? Was that like a temporary stopgap that they had done, or did that continue through these last 9 months?
It's a good question, because when we looked at the data, it was from February through April. So you could see when, I think the March timeframe, when they made those changes, you could see connection speeds pick up. One of the things I do want to do heading to 2021 is go back and answer that question to understand how did things change, or did things change over the balance of 2020 and heading into sort of the you know, for better or for worse, 1 year anniversary of all of this.
Yeah, that'll definitely be really interesting, because I know that I think officially the Keeping America Connected, the FCC kind of program, expired at the end of June. And I've heard some broadband providers had ended some of their programs. So it will be interesting to see what your data shows in terms of, did we see kind of just a sliding back to previous kind of
pre-COVID?
Right. Definitely want to dig back into that.
For sure. Really looking forward to that. So David, it was really awesome to have you on the show. This is really interesting stuff. I'm really excited that you're at Fastly and that you're sharing this data with everyone. So looking forward to seeing more of it. Thanks
for having me back. And I look forward to chatting with you again.
Yep. All right. So that's our show, everyone. So we're going to be taking the next couple of weeks off for the holiday break. So we're not going to have an episode for the next 2 weeks. We're going to be back, though, on January 5th. And we're really excited to have a special guest. We are going to have Forrest Brazil, who is hilarious and amazing and super knowledgeable. Forrest is AWS serverless hero, cloud bard at a cloud guru. And he also does an amazing blog at cloudirregular.substack.com. And he's also an author. He's the author of The Read Aloud Cloud. So we're really excited to have him on the show. It will be a fun one. So have a good holiday, everyone, and we'll see you back in January.
And again, if you want to subscribe or follow us on Twitter, do so. If you haven't gotten your t-shirt yet and you want one, you could email us at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. And with that, we'll see you next year.